You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Man, that's a significant day, right? If you look up today in history, first performance of Shakespeare's Macbeth tragedy at the Globe Theatre in London takes place in 1611. Captain James Cook arrived in New South Wales. In 1777, New York adopts the new constitution as an independent state. In 1792, there was a declaration of war on Austria and Prussia. In 1836, the Wisconsin Territory was created. In 1862, the first pasteurization, right? We've all read about that. Completed by Frenchmen Louis Pasteur and Claude Bernard. That happened today. The world's first motor race happened today. In France. In 1887. And in 1896, a little bit of Marine Corps history, the first public showing of John Philip Sousa's El Capitan premieres in New York City. John Philip Sousa of The President's Own. On this date in 1902, Marie and Pierre Curie isolate the radioactive compound radium chloride. Now, on this date in 1912, Fenway Park officially opens. On this date in 1912, Tiger Stadium opened. Same year, they both opened. On this date in 1918, the Red Baron shoots down his 79th and 80 victims, making his his final victories before his death the following day. You imagine that? 79-80 victories. Yeah. How about this one? Things you don't really know in history and are kind of shocked to read. On this date in 1919, the Polish army captured Vilno. That's in Lithuania. From the Soviet army. Yeah. Here's another one that echoes in history on this day. I told you, today's a big day. Right? 1920, the Balfour Declaration recognized, makes Palestine a British mandate. And the Brits will go there, and they will screw that one up too. Just like every other place they've gone in the world, they've screwed it up. There ought to be a lesson in that someplace. On this date in 1926, the first check sent by radio facsimile transmission across the Atlantic. How about that? On this date in 1934, Heinrich Himmler becomes the inspector of the Prussian secret state police. That will lead him to horrible things. Right? That will lead him to horrible things. On this date in 1939, Ted Williams got his first hit. Congratulations to Ted, former Marine, right? Veteran of both, well, he trained people during World War II, and then he was a fighter pilot in Korea, in the Korean War. On this date in 1941, the Dodgers started to wear liners inside their caps. It was the first use of a helmet. So it was a cylindrical device that you wore underneath your hat on the inside of your head. In case you got hit in the dome, it would help you. Yeah. On this date in 1942, German occupiers forbid the Dutch from going to the beach. On this date in 1945, Soviet artillery begins shelling Berlin. On this date in 1945, the U.S. 7th Army captures the German city of Nuremberg, which will become famous because of the trials there. On this date in 1945, United States forces conquer the Motobu Peninsula on Okinawa. On this date in 1946, first baseball broadcast of the Chicago Cubs versus the St. Louis Cardinals. That must be first television broadcast. Yay, yay. On this date in 1950, Baltimore's Memorial Stadium, which no longer exists, opened in Baltimore. On this date, 1957, New York Yankee Bill Scourin became the third player to hit a ball out of Fenway. What? On this date, 1962, NASA civilian pilot Neil Armstrong takes an X-15. If you don't know how cool the X-15 was, you're too young, okay? Look it up. To 63,250 m. What is that? I thought it was going to say feet. What's m? I don't know. Somebody explain that to me. If you know what that is, explain it to me. On this date in 1964, 86% of black students boycotted the Cleveland schools that they were attending. On this day in 1967, New York met Tom Seaver's first victory. Former United States Marine, who I got a chance to meet and watch pitch when he pitched for my dad. He beat the Cubs 6-1 that day. On this date in 1971, Barbara Streisand sings records We've Only Just Begun. Yeah. I think a song that will ultimately be made more famous by the Carpenters, Karen and Richard Carpenter. She passes away from anorexia, complications relative to anorexia. On this date in 1974, Paul McCartney releases Band on the Run. Paul McCartney still playing music. On this date, this is kind of a funny thing. On this date, President Jimmy Carter is attacked by a swamp rabbit, which swam up to his fishing boat in Plains, Georgia. Yeah. There you have it. On this date in 1980, Cuban President Fidel Castro announces he's opening the Mariel port for Cubans to leave. 125,000 people leave in the next 5 to 6 months. Yeah, the Cuban boat people thing. On this date, 1983, President Reagan signed a $165 billion bailout for Social Security, which was a huge event, right? That's like chump change, right? On this day in 1984, a Russian offensive begins in Afghanistan. Kind of eerie, right? Kind of eerie. On this date in 1986, Michael Jordan sets an NBA playoff record with 63 points in a game. What? Oh, a playoff record. Yeah, a playoff record. On this date in 1988, the Baltimore Orioles set a record for the worst start ever in Major League Baseball history, going 0-14. They would ultimately go 0-21. The manager of that team, Cal Ripken Sr. Yeah, Cal Ripken Sr. is fired at some point in all of that. On this date, 1990, Pete Rose pleads guilty to hiding $300,000 in income. Pete Rose, not a great statement for being a human being, okay? Just for the record. I know that hurts some people. Some of my closest friends are huge Pete Rose fans. Yeah, not so much. Not so much. On this date in 1992, if you could imagine such a thing, Madonna signs a $60 million deal with Time Warner. I wonder what the terms of that were. How many years? $60 million in 1992. Yeah. That's pretty impressive. On this day, as kind of a signal of the steroid era in baseball, Mark McGwire is forced to homer on the left field roof of Tiger Stadium. Everybody else did it legitimately. Sorry about that, but it's the truth. On this date in 1999, Columbine High School Massacre. Two young dudes kill 13 people, injure 24 others before committing suicide at Columbine High School in Florida. On this date in 2004, in Iraq, 12 mortars are fired at Abu Ghraib prison by insurgents, killing 22 detainees and wounding 92. On this date in 2012, People magazine named Eva Mendez as one of 2012's most beautiful people at every age. Yeah, see, they got out of the business of just beautiful people, right? Because it's too current. And so in order to appeal to a broader demographic, they picked people in age groups. How about that? Those people are people, man. Always thinking, always thinking. On this date in 2017, terrorist attack on police on a police van on the Champs-Élysées. One Paris police officer is killed, two are injured. On this date in 2018, Commonwealth countries decide Prince Charles will succeed Queen Elizabeth as the next head of the Commonwealth. I'm not a big fan of Prince Charles. All right. I'm not a big fan of that guy. He seems like a straight up doofus to me. All right. Now, I believe, let me check one thing. Well, first of all, welcome to All Marine Radio. I know this sounds kind of stupid, but today 420 friendly, right? And isn't today Hitler's birthday too? If I'm not mistaken. Britain repeals the Stamp Act. Eisenhower signed Hawaii into statehood. Interesting. It's interesting because it's not mentioned anywhere. Today is the birthday of Adolf Hitler. Yeah. But it's mentioned nowhere. And then anyway, I'm not going to go looking for it, but 420, what is the significance of that? What is the significance of that? All right. Yesterday, actually all weekend, I was like Mr. Project. I built Tim Lynch was talking to me about a pull-up bar that he rides his bike to go. And one of the things that my home gym lacks is a pull-up bar. And I've been thinking about, making one. And all you need is a couple of 4x6s, right, which might be $12 a piece, some Quikrete. And a bar, so $50. You can have your own pull-up bar. And then what sealed the deal is Colleen and I were doing P90X last week. And we were there's a P90X, and it's an ab workout. And I used to do it in Afghanistan in 2010, 2011, so I still have it, so I still do it. So Colleen and I start doing it. And then there's another one called Core Ab X. So I never even looked at that. So I look at it, and it involves a bar. So you grab the bar, and then you're doing different kind of pull-up exercise. Not pull-up with your arms, but pull-ups with your legs for your core. So I thought, well, there's another reason. So yeah. Colleen and I can hop on that bar. So, but the only thing I have to do is I have to build it wide enough so that so that we can do that. So I did. So I did. So she and I we went and got the wood. We then we went actually for a little drive up the Coast Highway, because I was curious to see if people were at the beaches, if people were riding, if people were out riding bikes along, you know, the beach trails. The concrete trail right next to the beach. There's people out there everywhere. And it wasn't really a nice day Saturday here. So I was curious to see that. So we drove up to Huntington Beach and then drove home, and then we stained the we went ahead and we did the polyurethane thing, right? And then we leveled it, and boom, pull-up bar, 10 feet across. And I wasn't really opposed to having a little bit of whip in the bar either, right? At 62, come on. The fact that you even attempt a pull-up should get you some kind of award for merit. Yeah, if I was a Boy Scout, I mean, yeah, they'd be like, oh, and Mac, he's even attempting a pull-up at 62, so we're going to give him, straight up give him a merit badge, just for even thinking about that shit. So we did that, and then we had a little bit of a mouse issue. Yeah, they're not mouse, they're rats. They emanate in the fighter pilot next door's garage. And so, yeah, 4 dead rats later, 2 in a trap that we have, and then 2 on his side of the fence. Yeah, rat combat over the weekend as well. And then yesterday, I started doing the, just the edging and mowing both lawns, the front and the back, which are important to me. I don't like it when my yard's out of sync. So did that, invited my ex, my daughter, Catherine, over for dinner. So we're going to grill some chicken. And before that, I want to give you a recipe here. Before that, we were going to play this game called Block It. So it's a strategy game. And 4 people play, and you try to get all your irregularly shaped pieces on the board. Pretty fun game, right? Involves a little bit of problem solving, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, instead of us playing that after dinner, why don't we play it before dinner? And we can sit outside. It'll be nice. We'll play outside. We'll have some chips and guacamole. And we'll make Frosties. Now, Frosties is a drink that my in-laws make. And I first, when I first was going out with my ex-wife, Susan, we wound up at her home on a Saturday or a Sunday. I remember it was a weekend. And, you know, it was a warm day, and my former father-in-law, who's now passed away, but his name was Don, Big Donnie, he says, who wants Frosties? So he goes in and fires up the blender, and let me tell you what a Frosty is. It's an awesome drink, especially summer drink. It is a 8-ounce container of lemonade, okay? So you just, if you can find them anymore, they used to be around a lot more than they are today. But if you have to buy a 12-ounce, dump 8 ounces, you can let it thaw, which makes all this easier. But dump 8 ounces into a measuring cup, dump it into the blender. Fill the blender with ice. Put 8 ounces of vodka in the measuring cup, and then dump that in the blender. And then you give a little extra dash for the Pope, okay? So then you just hit the highest setting you have on that blender, and you liquidate that. So you essentially make an icy, yeah. Except it's got vodka in it. So we did that yesterday, and the first time I had them, I don't know that anybody told me that there was alcohol in them. I fired that thing down, and let me tell you, they taste, they're awesome. Lemonade slushies. I mean, lemon slushies, come on. So I slug one down. I think I slugged 2 down. I'm halfway through the third one, and I can feel my face my I can't I bit my lip and I couldn't feel it. And so I said, this is a classic quote, by the way, it still gets brought up. I looked and I said, do these have alcohol in them? If not, I mean, I think I've had a stroke because I can't feel my lips. They all start laughing. They're like, hello, yes. And I said, oh. So, but anyway, so 8 ounces of lemonade concentrate. Then 8 ounces of vodka, a splash for the Pope. And then you fill you fill your blender with ice. That's it, man. So we did that yesterday. And trust me, block it was way more fun than it normally is. Yeah, so anyway, we did that. But we got into a serious discussion at dinner about, you know, about the world that we live in. And especially about the whole issue of opening, you know, opening up. And it's just, it was an interesting discussion. And what we kind of started talking about was, and you've heard me say it on the program before, but, you know, I'd rather be shot at any day of the week than lay in bed at night and wondering how you're going to pay your bills and how your family's going to get through the day. And so, you know, we talked on the program about that 52% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Well, that was like, what? We started this, what, 6 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? So that's either two or three paychecks that most people that live like that, you know, haven't received. What happens to them? Now, if you're a homeowner, I've seen programs that say, we will forego your rent if you file for this program for the next 90 days. No, not your rent, your mortgage payment for the next 90 days. We will simply tack that on to we'll send you documents, but we'll adjust the mortgage, you know, and we'll add 3 months to the end, which is right, which is imminently acceptable for people. And so what about renters though? Which I would say most people, I wouldn't say most people, but a fair amount of people that are living paycheck to paycheck are renting. Are the people that own the buildings going to tell them that they don't have to pay their rent? And so how did they do it? So now you get laid off. Let's just suppose you're a waiter. And you get laid off. And you're a professional waiter in a place where you make good tips and things like that. You go to zero and you're living paycheck to paycheck. So what do you do? I don't pay rent. My biggest bill, I can't pay it. Okay, so now I keep my money for food and gas. I go file for unemployment. That's $400 a week. Now, if my check ever gets to me, that's $1,200. So in a job that I used to make $3,000 to $4,000 a month, and let's just say my wife's a hairdresser. She's not working now. I now make zero. And I'm getting $400 a week. And so where am I getting my food? Am I going to a food bank? What can I do with $400 a week? I can buy groceries and my gas. Can I make my car payment? Can I pay my car insurance? Can I pay my cell bill? Okay. So we were talking, add those up. Let's just say my car payment is $350 a month. Let's just say my insurance is $100 a month. Let's just say our cell phone payments, right? Just say my wife and I, we both have cell phones. That's going to be $100. Let's just, we'll say $150 a month. Okay, we've decided we're not going to pay our rent. Okay, so we both have car payments. So between the two of us, that's $900 a month in cars and insurance. So before we even buy any food, we spend $1,000 a month. So one of the things we were talking about is the people that go on TV, they're all getting paid. They're not at risk financially. And we're talking about, you know, over half the households in the country. And then, you know, there's another huge percentage, I think it's up to like 70 something, that says I couldn't really miss a paycheck without it impacting me severely financially. Well, now we're either into the third paycheck that you've missed or getting to the third paycheck that you've missed. How long can that go on? You know, how long can that go on? So it's a hard question. And the governors of the country are going to have to make those decisions. And, you know, it was interesting talking to it with our daughters. Like, you know, they looked around and they're like, did you guys ever go through that? And we both said, yep. Right? Yeah, we did. And that's what I said. I said, that's why I always say, rather than failing the people who depend on you and you lay in bed and you can't sleep at night and you think, you look at the ceiling like, how am I going to do this? You know, I said, I'd rather be shot at any day of the week. Right? If you get killed, you know, your family gets $500,000. They'll be okay. But, you know, nobody's going to come to take everything you own. And then what happens to the people who haven't paid their rent in the future? Is somebody going to, you know, so I don't pay my rent for, let's just say, 3 months. Is my landlord going to come to me and say, hey, we're just going to raise your rent. You now owe me an extra $3,000, $1,000 a month is your rent. So we're going to raise your rent, right? Your lease runs for another X months. So I'll spread that out over the balance of your lease. Are they going to do that? Or are they going to say, I want my money. Pay me my money. And so you can imagine, I mean, I'm going to the food bank to get food. I can't pay any of my bills except, you know, my basic ones. I need my car, so I got to pay my car payment. I got to pay my car insurance, and I've got to pay my cell phone bill. Well, there's $350, $450, $600 a month. Okay. And my income now is $1,200 a month for everything else that I'm going to pay. And that means I'm not paying my rent. So I just think it's you look at people that are on TV and they talk about testing, and I don't think they're missing the most significant. I think they're missing the most significant thing that's happening in our country, and that is the number of people who live paycheck to paycheck who've been impacted by all of this, and. And so I think it's great that, you know, we try to help a lot of, you know, businesses and whatnot. I think that through no fault of their own, these people are now victims, and they can't then be preyed upon, in my opinion, by landlords and other people who then throw them out. Because if this wouldn't have happened, they would have paid their bills and all the rest of it. So I don't know what the answer is to all that. Right, I don't know what the answer is to all that. Here's an interesting question. Mac, what if you make over $200,000 and you live paycheck to paycheck? I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't know. I think that's a personal problem. If you've overextended yourself to that extent, that you're not who I'm talking about. That's probably a self-inflicted wound. If you can't make ends meet on $200,000, I don't know what to say to you. I do know what to say to you. You're going to learn a valuable lesson. a lesson that you've avoided for a long time. So good luck to you. Armstrong XF-15 M may have been meters. So 180,000 feet? What? On Friday, April 20th, 1962, Neil Armstrong zoomed up 2007, 500 feet in the X-15, as high as he'd go until his Gemini 8 mission would quadruple that 4 years later. Well outside the atmosphere, he used the reaction control system to maneuver. Another job on it, whatever that is, another job on his flight was to check out the MH-96, a G-limiting device designed to keep the rocket plane from exceeding 5 Gs. He kept the nose up as he plummeted from his peak altitude, which caused his flight path to balloon or rise again, producing about 4 Gs. This ballooning continued as he waited to see the G limiter kick in, which it never did. It turned out that the real flight was not agreeing with simulations he'd done on the ground. All the while he was cruising along at a rate of 10 football fields a second towards Los Angeles and still up around 140,000 feet. Soon he heard the main flight control center telling him as they watched his telemetry, "We show you're ballooning, not turning. Hard left turn, Neil. Hard left turn." By then, Armstrong had, in his own words, gone sailing merrily by the field. So 207,500 feet. That's impressive. Happened on this day. Here's another email. "Good morning, Mac. Hope you and your family are well. Hey, I've heard some stories about VFW not welcoming home and allowing membership to Vietnam vets. The story I heard was World War II and Korean War vets did not give Vietnam boys their just due and claimed they didn't fight a real war. In talking to many veterans, especially of Vietnam, have you heard such stories? I was way too young to hear about this. Be well." Yeah. And I believe I've heard them from Bob Nielsen. I believe I've heard them from Ken Rogers and other Vietnam veterans I've spoken to. I mean, I've heard it from them. I didn't read about it. That, you know, they got ridiculed when they went in the when they went into the VFWs and the American Legion, not just the VFWs. And all those things were said to them. "You didn't fight a real war. How could you not, you know, those little disorganized jackasses, how could you not kick their ass? Blah, 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 blah." Yeah, that's straight up. In fact, Jeff Kenney started watching, what's his name? The guy who makes all the documentaries. That guy. He started watching his series, Ken Burns. He started watching his series, The Vietnam War. And so I'm gonna rewatch it again. Colleen's gonna not be around this week, so I have more time on my own. So I'm gonna binge watch the Ken Burns series, and that's one of the things we'll talk about. You know, at the time it came out, you know, I had people on who didn't believe it captured the veteran experience from Vietnam very well. And then you had, you know, people that were part of the anti-war movement that did believe it captured their experience very well. So I guess when most people are unhappy with it, then you probably steered a decent balance. But the one thing that I talked to about that I thought about was, and this comes from doing radio programming, and that is this. When you think about what Vietnam is, right? So there's a North Vietnamese perspective, right? And it's political, it's military, and it's social. There's a South Vietnamese perspective, and there's a U.S. perspective. Now, you're going to have to try to carve 14 hours up to cover the events and then these perspectives in every one of those events. Yeah, I mean, 14, you know, I don't know. I should add up the hours total. But, I mean, I thought it was 14 hours is what's sticking in my head. And so, so that sounds like a lot, right? As a mini series, 14 hours. But when you look at the subject matter, and you're gonna start in the 1950s, and you're gonna go till the end of the war, and then the war's aftermath, and that it's so limiting the subject. If you were gonna do something about Vietnam, but if you just say the Vietnam War, right? Yeah. Not so easy. So I'm gonna watch that again. But yeah, those are some of the things you hear. And let me tell you this. I've heard that about. I've heard that also about Gold Star. And suicide, right? that if your husband or wife or son or daughter commits suicide, you're not welcome at memorial services. And I remember hearing that, and I remember thinking, make it stop. Please make it stop. And it's just like, it's not devastating enough that you lose them, no matter how you lose them. It's like when you show up for a memorial event, or you can't sit over there, you have to sit over there. Back of the bus for you, with all that that entails. You're not equal to them. And so, yeah. So it's brutal. Anyway, so Thursday you'll probably hear us talk about the Vietnam series. And, you know, things that we see differently today than we saw maybe the first time. So anyway, so good morning to you on a Monday, the 20th day of April. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Alex Holling's going to join us in about 20 minutes, so don't touch that dial. Dennis Katolin, Lieutenant Colonel, United States Marine Corps, is going to come on and talk about information operations tomorrow. And then in something that we recorded on Friday, Daryl Horn, part two, and that it is the actual July 2nd of 1967 as Alpha and Bravo companies of 1st Battalion, 9th Marines, head north into the further north into the DMZ, and Bravo Company is essentially destroyed. 65 killed in action, 55 wounded in action, and at the end, there's 26 Marines that are still around, and according to Daryl, every one of them wounded. Yeah, and I promise you, do not miss that on Wednesday. It'll be absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. So anyway, good morning to you. Should be a good week of All Marine Radio. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. this is dedicated to everybody across the country who works their ass off. You know, a lot of them in service-related jobs, working paycheck to paycheck. I hope that you're finding the support you need in the community. I hope when you lay in bed at night and look at the ceiling and wonder how you're going to do it, you find more and more answers. As in my opinion, one of the greatest and the most giving nations in the world begins to look after its own. And most importantly, some post-traumatic winning advice: don't fake it. If you're struggling, say that. Don't be afraid to talk about it, right? And don't be afraid to ask for help. So hang in there. I know that's easy to say and tough to do when you're living it. But at some point, you know, you'll get through this. At some point, you'll get through this.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
Alright, time to check weather here. Currently partly sunny and 57 in Quantico. It is raining in North Carolina, 63 degrees and rain. Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, sunny and 63 in 29 Palms. That's good. Partly sunny and 62 at Pendleton. Clear, dark, and 66 in Hawaii. Cloudy, dark, and 65 in Okinawa. Lashkarga, early in the evening, is cloudy and 65. I'm sorry, cloudy and 72. Ramadi, early in the evening, is clear and 85. So getting warm in Iraq. Currently cloudy and 61. The wind chill sits at 61. Looking for a high of 65 today. Although that's not what my phone says. Yeah. How about that? 70 tomorrow and 78 on Wednesday. That's right. That's why we called it the Golden State. We still do call it that. All right, let's do some news headlines. Top of the fold, Stars and Stripes. It's interesting simply because of the genre of headline it is. Forever chemicals are hundreds of times safer, or hundreds of times over safe level at Catterback Caserne site in Germany, according to an army report. Now, what's significant about that is that it's a non-COVID-19 headline. So I thought that was interesting. And again, I'll tell you what, the biohazard business, you know, is kept alive by the DOD, for God's sakes. And all the different people that it impacts. And I honestly, for me, it's hard to believe given the visibility of what went on at Camp Lejeune. When you start testing the water, right, you quickly find, you know, everything that's in there. So I'm not sure why, you know, this stuff is still a surprise. Barbershops open in South Korea. Soldiers are waiting hours to get haircuts. Well, I mean, think of it this way. They could be sitting in their rooms, right? They could be sitting in their rooms. Yeah, so that's in the news today. 3MEF instructs Marines on Okinawa to prepare for 72 hours of shelter in place. What's going to happen in 72 hours? I'm not exactly sure. But Japan going through its emergency responses. And I think this is probably, there's two stories that I would say that were emerging late last week. one is this. Headline, report suggests many have had coronavirus with no symptoms. Yeah, this is from the Associated Press. A flood of new research suggests that far more people have had the coronavirus without any symptoms, fueling hope that it may turn out to be much less lethal than originally feared. Now, Timmy Lynch talked about this. While that's clearly good news, it also means it's impossible to know who around you is contagious, which complicates decisions about returning to work, school, and normal life. The head of the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention says 25% of infected people might not have symptoms. The vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General John Hayden, thinks it may be as high as 60 to 70% among military personnel who are asymptomatic. So anyway, that the other story, no military moves through the end of July. And here's a headline that is emblematic of this story. 160 members of National Guard step in at Massachusetts Veterans Home where at least 50 have died of coronavirus. Now, this story has been replicated across the country. I mean, you saw that horrible story coming out of New Jersey, right, where they pulled all those bodies out of that home and where the people working there left and then somebody made an anonymous call. In Massachusetts, the State Executive Office of Health and Human Services announced Sunday that two more residents at the state-run home had died in the past 24 hours due to the coronavirus, and test results of another resident who died are pending. What it tells us is that those are not very well-paid positions, the people who take care of people that are sick. And, you know, you get what you get. And the conditions in some of those homes around the nation are not great. And I think that, obviously, well, I think you have to be a fool not to conclude this, but I think that, you know, that Congress will have to look at that and, you know, what it is to be certified, who inspects those things, and what we expect out of those facilities. Because what we've seen has been horrific, you know, and a lot of, you know, some of those people know, you know, they don't have any family. And so anyway, it's a story that absolutely positively sucks. The let me see if there's anything worth talking about in Marine Corps times. I woke up at 3 in the morning and couldn't go back to sleep, and then finally did. A Marine passed away last week during PT training in 29 Palms. No further details were released other than the announcement. The and then everybody continues to talk about widespread testing. But we're not there yet. So now what? Everybody continues to stay at home? Which I think is the wrong answer for people that aren't impacted by this virus. At least statistically, they're in a part of the population that isn't susceptible and has a survival rate of 98%. And now, if these numbers are true, it's more than 98%. Okay. So to me, governors are going to get and in my opinion, it's appropriate. You know, governors should get more pressure to open their states back up where it's possible. And that should be the first step. Top five stories in Early Bird, then we'll take a break. And Alex Hollings is going to join us today. We'll get his thoughts on the world that we live in. I'm channeling my inner Walter Cronkite right now. Top story in Early Bird. One, regardless of the impact to my career, Crozier's email revealed Navy won't rule out reinstatement. I want to see how they thread that needle because, again, it all can't be true. It all can't be true. So, anyway, that's still out there. And Early Bird has not been updated. So that's as much as you're going to get out of that. I sent myself a couple stories that I thought were interesting. And this is how I do it over the weekend. I see stuff and I email myself. I will tell you this. I subscribed for like $2 for 2 months to the Wall Street Journal on something that I got sent. To me, the Wall Street Journal is awesome. It's expensive, but I'll tell you, if you're looking to read news and really good news, right, and some really good thought pieces, and I know it leans to conservative, which is what I am, but it's great stuff. Anyway, headline, Vietnam protests Beijing's expansion in disputed South China Sea. So what you're seeing, and the reason I sent that to myself, is, you know, China's been preying on the nations of the South China Sea for a long time. And I think they're beginning to see, as we talked about, that there's going to be an opening, right, to push back against the Chinese on the heels of this coronavirus thing. Okay. So, and it's interesting that Vietnam, right, no love lost between there. We talked about, you know, initially questioning why the Roosevelt would go into Da Nang Harbor and why the crew. Well, let me tell you, I mean, that's as an important strategic mission, opening up a nation in the region that gets us close there, that may welcome us partnering military operations and everything that would entail in the region. Right, that first step to me was important, and now if you didn't follow the story last week, it now looks like the virus was brought back to the Roosevelt not by the crew who went ashore in Vietnam, but by crew that does what are called CODs, and that is they take the mail, they take people, you know the Navy still has to function, right? Some people, you know, execute PCS orders while they're aboard the ship. They get on a COD, and if you're out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, they fly you to the nearest, you know, naval base or the nearest place that you can get on a flight. Evidently brought back to the ship by those parts of the Navy Air Wing embarked on the Roosevelt. So, anyway, but it was interesting that Vietnam pushes back against China in public. Right, in public. So the Vietnamese. And then the other story that I emailed to myself is the United States piling on top of Vietnam's request, right? Headline, U.S. says China should stop bullying behavior in the South China Sea. The United States called on China on Saturday to stop bullying behavior in the South China Sea, said it was concerned by reports of Beijing's provocative actions aimed at offshore oil and gas developments in disputed waters. Three regional security sources told Reuters on Friday that a Chinese government survey ship was tagging an exploration vessel operated by the Malaysian state oil company Petronas in those waters. Now, it's Petronas operating in what's called the economic exclusion zone that all nations, you know, that all nations except China accept. And then where you have overlapping claims, you somehow or other adjudicate that. You negotiate, you parcel that up, blah, 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 blah. Okay? China doesn't do that. So anyway, a couple of interesting headlines. All right, we'll take a break. Alex Holling is going to join us next right here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, and again, on a cool week of programming. So we'll talk about information operations with a Marine Corps Gazette author, Dennis Katolin, Lieutenant Colonel type, tomorrow. And then and I'll ask him about what happens when, you know, when we go to war with a peer. And I know it's all conjecture, but we blow each other's satellites out. You know, how do we do target acquisition? So we'll talk about that a little bit towards the end of the interview. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on this Monday, the 20th day of April, 2020.